Good morning. In May of last year, 2005, two soldiers from the Japanese Imperial Army were found hiding in the jungles south of Mindanao. For almost 60 years, they were trying to avoid capture, thinking that the war had yet to end. Imagine those guys there, hiding out, scrounging whatever life they could together, not realizing that they could go home free. The sad thing is many Christians live in the same way. Being freed by the gospel, how often do we live in the jungles of sin rather than walking in the liberty that is ours in Christ? Men feel great joy at great liberation. A person who hears the words from the doctor, "Well, your cancer's gone. You can go home." Tremendous release. A person that's been captive by a guerrilla army and set free has an unspeakable elation. The same has happened when a blind person receives their sight. They jump and leap and shout for joy. And that is how we in Christ ought to live, because of the reality of our liberation made possible by the gospel. In the book of Romans, Paul unfolds for us this miracle of liberation. And we see there how we who were enslaved in sin have been set free. Paul ends Romans 7 with a cry, "Who will set me free from this body of death?" And then he answers the question, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul then begins in Romans 8 to unfold for us this miracle of liberation. We're going to study this morning in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 11, and look at three elements of our liberation in Christ. We shall first contemplate the mechanics of our liberation in verse 1 through 4. Then in 5 through 8, we're going to study the mindset of our liberation. And then in verse 9 through 11, we're going to see the movement of we who are liberated in Christ. The mechanics of liberation, the mindset of liberation, and lastly, the movement of we who are liberated in Christ. So let's begin. Let me just pray one more moment and then we'll go to the Word of God. Father, we thank You for the work of grace that has been done through Christ. And I pray this morning You would open the eyes of our hearts that we might truly grasp the reality of our liberation in the Beloved. Speak, Lord, transform us by Your Holy Spirit through Your holy word, we beg You, in Christ's name. Amen. Romans 8, verse 1 through 4, the mechanics of our liberation. Paul says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for we who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit." It is of paramount importance that we understand the mechanics of our salvation. Salvation is designed to affect our entire body, our soul, our mind, our spirit. Everything about us is to be changed by this work of liberation. God intends for salvation to impact our wills, our thinking, our emotion, that we would be living in an entirely different plane because of the work of grace. And so Paul begins here declaring there is no condemnation for we who are in Christ Jesus. What does condemnation involve? Our imagination cannot grasp the depth of despair, of suffering that is to those who are condemned because of their sin. The Bible uses metaphor such as ceaseless flames and worms that never die. We know that condemnation is spiritual death, evermore apart from the loving light of God's holy presence. This we know, that were not condemnation so grave, so terrible, so eternal, God would never have sacrificed His only begotten Son to free us from the condemnation that we so rightfully deserve. And yet Paul says, we who are in Christ are set free. There is now no condemnation. We need to understand this book because it teaches us the mechanics of our liberation. Salvation is not a matter of opinion. It's not one religion happens to be our preferences in one country and another in another country, or because of your parents or your neighborhood or the friends that you walk with. Salvation is a mechanical reality. And Paul says here, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and of death. It's like the laws of physics. And so we see here how two opposing laws affect one another. It's like the law of gravity. You know, just not over 100 years ago, everyone knew that man could never fly. People tried jumping, flapping wings, all sorts of mechanisms. With hot air balloons, they got off the ground and they thought, well, that was a bit encouraging, but it was more for a, you know, tourism, kind of a spectator sport. It never crossed their minds that we could truly fly, but two creative guys, actually there was many people investigating the possibilities, a man named Orville and his brother named Wilbur got together and they began to scratch their heads thinking, perhaps there are other laws. Perhaps there are laws beside the law of gravity, laws greater that could free us from the pull that makes us fall like stones. And so they developed the tables of what are now the laws of aerodynamics. One of the guys in the fellowship happens to be a pilot, and I asked him, well, how is this? How can things fly? He says, oh, it's real simple. It's just lift and thrust. You know, Brian could tell us those things. Lift and thrust. Those are so much greater than gravity. But when you put lift and thrust together, then we don't have to fall. The laws of gravity are broken. And men can fly faster than the fastest of eagles, because there is a greater law. And the same is true in the spirit world. There is the law of sin and death, which is at work in our mortal frames. But Paul says there is a greater law. It is the law of the Spirit of life. And this principle in you has set you free from the law of sin and death. So you need no longer fall in sin and live in guilt and shame and grief. There is a new power, the power of the indwelling Spirit, which is made possible because of the perfect work of Christ. Paul tells us, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit set me free from the law of sin and death. Can you imagine how Orville and Wilbur felt that first day after they had those, I think it was 859 feet of flight. That's not very far these days. But they were flying, and they just got together. They were talking, man, can you believe it? We're flying. It's unbelievable. We're up in the air. And how should we share, as we who are free from the law of sin and death? Our conversation should be so filled with joy and with delight because of the law of the Spirit of life that is at work in us. God is like a surgeon, and sin is like a cancerous tissue that saps our very life. And He enters in and He frees us from this powerful and deadly element, which is the law of sin and death. And He takes that upon Himself. And He became man, perfect God, became perfect man, that He could offer a perfect sacrifice for your sin, so that that power might be broken and you might live free according to the mechanics of salvation. One of the fruits of the reality of salvation in us is we can be far more objective about our sin. I think naturally we tend to be a bit defensive about our particular preferential sins. You know, how many times have you heard, well, I'm just like that. You know, you have to understand, I'm just that way, and that's the way I am. What a vain excuse. See, in Christ, you're not that way anymore. As a person having gone through cancer surgery can get up and look at that ugly mass of tissue in that stainless steel bowl and say, oh, that is so ugly. But that's not me. We see in Romans 7, it's true. You're not your sin. You're not defined by your sin any longer. Oh, it's ugly. Your sin is so ugly. It smells bad. But that's not you. You have been freed by the law of the Spirit of life, so we can be honest about this struggle and we can live in liberty because now a new and greater power is at work in we who believe. And so we see we're free. Paul goes on. Let me, one more little thought here. A guy by the name of Martin Luther, Catholic priest in Wittenberg, Germany, studying the book of Romans, studying this very passage. And as he came to the word no condemnation, something began to burn in his heart. And he realized it was not by works, not by indulgences, not by obedience to the papal state. It is by grace, by being in Christ, that we are set free. And that realization has transformed the Christian world, because there is no condemnation for we who are in Christ Jesus. And so we move on, and Paul says, now, because of the mechanics of our liberation, there need be a change in the mindset of we who are liberated. In verse 5 through 9, Paul says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Here we see that when the Spirit enters into the Christian life, there is now a new orientation in our thinking. Observe with me that there are basically only two ways to think. There is the natural way, the sinful way, and there is the supernatural, the spiritual means of thinking. Satan would have you think that life and peace are available by your own efforts. You need not be vile, you need not be dastardly, you need not be a serial killer to have your mind set on the sinful way. You simply need to live your life without Christ in the center. You need to live naturally, because the old nature is bound by sin. Rather, God has for the Christian a new mindset, a mind controlled by the indwelling Holy Spirit, a mind set on the Spirit, a mind thinking about spiritual things as you walk about life, seeing not that which the eyes can see, but seeing that which the Holy Spirit is doing, the work of the kingdom of God, the work of grace. Paul, remember, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like leaven. It is in that lump of dough, and though we don't observe its working, it transforms the entire mass. And so is the work of the Spirit living in
you who are a Christian. The mind set on the flesh is death. One of the things that's been so exciting for Julie and I, who spent many years in Spain, is seeing God change people's minds. Seeing people whose life was filled with anxiety, who bit their fingernails to the knobs, worrying about life, worrying about this, worrying about the other thing, and finding in Christ peace that runs like a river through their souls. And seeing them walking free from all these cares that they were burdened by before. I've known people who have been controlled by anger, who at the drop of a hat were ready to bite off anybody's head who happened to be near. Because they felt they had to control everything, and because things weren't working according to their control, they were just frustrated with life. And in meeting the God who controls all things, they realized they don't have to be in control anymore. They can let God control things, because frankly, He does control things, and you don't have to let Him do that. He's already doing that, thank you. But just to admit that is so freeing. Knowing that the Spirit gives life. And so the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. So rather than living like dead men, concerned and controlled by all sorts of shame and guilt and grief, to be liberated, to know that, yea, though we sin, our sin has been paid in full by the perfect death of Christ on our behalf. The mindset in the Spirit is life and peace. How are you doing in your mindset? Are you living troubled by anxieties, burdened by guilt, frustrated like a yappy, yipping dog at the people around you? Or is life and peace flowing from your soul? David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He lays me down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He gives rest to my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." Does that sound like life and peace to you? If Jesus is your good shepherd, if the Spirit of God lives in you, life and peace will flow from your soul because of the mindset of our liberation. The mindset on the flesh is hostile to God. It cannot submit to God's law. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Do you see here that this puts an axe in your self-effort? You, in your striving, have not the resources to please God. You have no means in your mortal nature to live in accordance with the righteous requirements of the law. You therefore stand condemned. And so what Paul is saying is your effort is not what he's looking for. He's looking for your walking in your liberation that you have in Christ. Letting the Spirit of God lead you. Letting Him empower you. Letting Him fill your heart and your mind with the new way of the Christian life. There is great freedom in this new mindset. And Paul then moves on to say, not only the mechanics, not only the mindset, but lastly, the movement of we who are liberated by Christ. In verse 9 through 11, Paul says, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, though your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who lives in you. We see here the movement of our liberation. We who are in Christ, we who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, are no longer controlled by the sinful nature. We are controlled by the Spirit. You ever seen those little control cars or control airplanes? You know, it's amazing what you can do. You get this little box and it has a little antenna you pull out. And then you have these little knobs, kind of little switches. I don't know what you call them, but you can move these switches to make it go forward, and you can go sideways, this way and that way, and any which way. And the fact is, you can choose to let your vehicle be controlled by your sinful nature, or you can take that little box and you can give it to the Holy Spirit and say, "Won't you run the controls on my life? Please, won't you do that for me?" And the Holy Spirit will say, "I'm so glad you asked. I've been waiting for you to ask. Because frankly, you're doing a terrible job of driving that car. And you're going to see what that little baby can do when I'm at the controls." The movement of the Christian is controlled by the Spirit of God. There's a lot of confusion about who doesn't have the Spirit of God. Even in evangelical Christianity, it's a shame. Some people have been taught, you don't receive the Spirit when you're saved. You need a second or another work of grace. Paul's very clear here that if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not a Christian. And on the contrary, if you have trusted your life to Christ, if you have received the gift of salvation, you have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in your life. And He would move you into works of grace and love and light. Our movement is controlled by Him. Now, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Him. We have a saying in Spain, you can live in a barn and not be a pony. And the same is true of Christians. You can live in a church and not be a Christian. You can be every Sunday in your particular seat. You can be a good person. You can help old ladies across the street. But if the Spirit of God is not living in you, if you have not submitted your life to the Lordship of Christ, if He is not your Redeemer, then you have not the Spirit of God. And so we look to see, has sin been separated from us? Is our life, is our mind now filled with thoughts of praise? Do we look forward to gathering with the saints, to sing His praises, to study His Word, to pray before the King of Glory, to share this liberation that is ours in Christ? Look in verse 10 and 11. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And verse 11, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. In verse 10, who is living in you? See that? Christ. In verse 11, who is living in you? The Spirit of God. In John 14:23, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode in him. And so you see, from the moment you trust Christ, from the moment you give your life to Him and you take His life for yours, you receive this gift of salvation. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come and make their home in your life, so that you become the dwelling place of the infinite, immortal, almighty God. It's no fool that realizes that when God enters a life, He comes and makes changes. He's come to dwell in you, that your life, your mortal body would receive life through Him. Yet though sin works death in us, He works life in us. One of the beautiful things about Spain is that we love sunflowers, and there are fields as far as the eye can see sown with sunflowers. And as they begin to grow, they grow on top of the plant. This is a very large head. One of the largest flowers, I think, that grows. But one of the beautiful things about a sunflower is that it is made by God with a special ability. And then as at nighttime, they drop their heads toward the ground. But in the morning, as the sun begins to rise in the east, all the sunflowers lift up their heads and they look at the sun. And as the sun runs through its course from east to west across the sky, all these millions of sunflowers follow the sun in its course across the sky until it sets in the west. And so if you're on the east side of a sunflower field, you take a picture in the morning, all the sunflowers are looking at you. We go to the west side in the afternoon, and they're all looking over there. It's tremendous. These flowers just watch the sun. And so too it is in the Christian life. God has put His Spirit in you so that your movement would be following the Son of God who saved you. So that you would look to Him and His light would shine on your life in such a way that your new inclination, your supernatural inclination is to follow Him. Wow. We have been set free by the gospel. How ought we live? And how ought we talk? And how ought we walk as men and women who have been delivered from eternal condemnation to live a life of joy and peace and power by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you? And so, we've seen the mechanics of our salvation, the mindset of our liberation, and the movement of we who are in Christ. And so I'd ask you, is your life like that sunflower? Do you follow His course in your daily life? Or are you about your business rather than His? Are you living free from the cancer of your sin, using all your resources to the glory of God who died to set you free? Let us pray. Father, how we rejoice at the perfect work of Christ that sets us free from sin. And if there's anyone here today who has not yet known that liberation, today we pray would be the day of salvation when they would understand their sinful nature, confess their sin and believe in Christ's death and resurrection on their behalf and pass from death to life. And for we who are in Christ, Lord, I pray a new determination to set our minds on things above, to live filled with joy at the liberation that is ours, and to move according to Your good pleasure, until we see You face to face at the coming of our glorious Redeemer. Oh Lord, how we thank You for our liberation in Christ and give You thanks in His beloved name. Amen.